this young family, and I just want to encourage you, hopefully this, you'll understand this, and I'm a kind of guy, I really don't mind babies, like in the service, and toddlers and stuff, and at the refuge, we just let them run around, you know, and if they get too loud, they kind of gather them in. But there was this young mom, and after the service, she walked up to the young pastor, and she said, you know, if I would have known you were preaching, I would have brought the whole box of Cheerios. If you don't know what that means, then you've never had toddlers. Hopefully you won't get through a whole box of Cheerios. It won't be that long-winded, amen? What if you could open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1 for a moment, if you have them, and we're probably going to have you, I'm going to share a lot of scriptures, but have you read a couple, and one of them is in Psalm chapter 1. And is it possible to get more light on me so I can see my notes? If it's not, that's cool too, but oh, wow, life is good. God said, let there be light, and there was. Pastor said, let there be light, and there was. I love it. But I'm going to go through some things today, and just so you don't get mad halfway through the sermon, I'll kind of give you the end already. What if everything in this book was really true? What if? Now, the answer to the question is, it is, so don't be offended. Don't wonder, he doesn't know? Seriously, he's questioning that? But what if it's true, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that this book is actually God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for training and correction, to help us become all that God needs us to be? What if it's really true? What if, after a long day of just ministry and there was no food, and Jesus sent his disciples to go get some food for the dinner, and they come back, and they ask him if he'd like to eat. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What if that was really true? What if, according to Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, oh, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. What if meditation upon this book could result in prosperity in every area of your life? What if it's really true, as it says in Psalm 119, that the law of the Lord and meditating on it makes me wiser than my enemies? What if, according to Paul, we really don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that our weapons aren't carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds? What if, according to Ephesians 6, what if it's really true that this is the sword of the Spirit? What if this were true? Would we dust off our Bibles and read them more? Would we check it out more than we check out our Facebook status in a day? What if there really is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 1? What if that were really true? Would we stop being so hard on ourselves? Would we lighten up a little bit when others mess up? What if there really is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? What if it's really true? What if Isaiah 53, verse 5, is really true, that by his stripes we are healed? What if, according to Psalm 107, what if it's really true that he sent his word to heal our diseases? What if it's really true that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed, according to Mark 16? What if? I was with a Baptist evangelist one time named Kim Ratliff, and we had a bunch of young people here, and the room was full, and they had the first time there was ever rock music, like really rock music in the sanctuary, I think, and they rocked out, and I'm like, man, these Baptists, they can get down. Had a whole band and stuff, but it got to the point where there was altar ministry, and I remember young people were coming up, and they were praying for them, and the Holy Spirit was coming upon them, and some were falling out, and you know, some were experiencing him in a way they never had before. And I remember I was standing like right here, and I'm just kind of watching this Baptist guy pray for people. And this girl comes up, and she's got crutches, and she's got like this full like bionic knee brace thing. And she came up, and he put his hand on her shoulder, and he says, "How can I help you?" And she said, "Well, I had a full scholarship for volleyball, but last week I tore up," and she named the parts of her knee and stuff like that, "and now I'm facing major surgery, and I don't know if I'm even going to have my scholarship anymore, and I need to be healed." And Kim said, "Oh, that's awesome," and he hugged her and started walking away. She said, "Whoa, wait, aren't you going to pray for me?" And he said, "What if we can lay hands on the sick and they really are healed?" He says, "Does it still hurt?" And she started bending down and moving it. Next thing you know, she took off her knee brace and she's jumping up and down and doing deep squats. And he says, "There is no pain." And he said, "Sweetheart, the Bible didn't say I had to speak a word or pray in tongues or shout at the devil. The Bible just said all I had to do is lay my hand on you. And while you were talking to me, my hand was on your shoulder." Can I ask you a question this morning? Is there anybody in this building right now that you have pain in your body? I mean, you actually have noticeable. Lift your hands up. You have pain in your body. Lift them high. Come on, keep them up. Now, what if those near them, what if right now you just lay your hand on them right now? And what if this book is really true? If somebody's hands up, lift them up high. If there's not somebody laying their hand on you, look around your brothers and sisters and say, "What's the matter with you? Why you do that?" Father, I believe it's true. Father God, take away all pain. You sent your word to heal our diseases. You shed your blood, and by your stripes we are healed. We have a promise that those who believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Let it be done now in Jesus' name. Now, and so be it. Now, wait a second. I learned this from Randy Clark. He says it takes absolutely no faith. It takes no faith to pray for the sick. It takes faith to ask them if they got healed. Now, those of you who raised your hand who had pain in your body, I want you to feel or check where that pain was. And if right now that pain's gone, I want you to stand to your feet. Pain's gone. Test it. It's gone. 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 No, stay standing. Stay standing. Gone. Gone, 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 gone. What if it's really true? You can be seated. What if? What if it's really true, as it says in Matthew 7:2? that in the measure that you judge others, God will judge you. What if it's really true that Jesus really wants you to remove the log out of your own eye before you try to get the speck out of a brother's eye? What if it's really true, according to Psalm 103, verse 12, that when you put your faith in Christ, he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west? What if it's really true, according to Isaiah 43, 25, that he blots out our sins and he remembers them no more? What if this is really true? Would we stop judging one another? Would we stop reminding ourselves of our sins when God's chosen to forget them and blot them out? Would we stop reminding our children of their sins? Reminding our friends and other church members of their past sins? If God chose to forget them, why won't we? What if it's really true? What if? What if it's really true, as it says in Isaiah 62, verse 5, that our God is like a bridegroom dancing and rejoicing over his virgin bride? What if it's really true? What if I belong to my beloved and his desire is for me? What if it's really true that he desires us? What if it's really true, according to the Song of Solomon, that although we think we're dark and unlovely and not worthy, he looks at us and he calls us beautiful? What if it's really true that Jesus is a bridegroom? What if it's really true? What if Revelation 19 is correct, that there's going to be a wedding feast? What if it's really true that there will be a day that the dead in Christ rise first, and those of us who remain get caught up in the air to meet the Lord, to be with him forever? And what if one of the first things we experience is a wedding, where you and I are joined to a bridegroom God forever and ever and ever? What if that were true? Would we lean into our beloved a little more today than we have in the past? What if that were really true? Would we find pleasure of just sitting in a room and enjoying the bridegroom's presence, where he doesn't have to say anything and you don't have to say anything? You just like being together? What if that's why David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I desire, one thing. I'm a king and I can have anything I want, but one thing I want is to dwell in the house of the Lord and to gaze upon his beauty." What if it's really true that he's a bridegroom God and we're his bride? What if it's really true what James said in James 4:3, that we have not because we just don't ask? What if it's really true that there's things lacking in my life, things that I don't have, things that aren't fulfilled, things that aren't complete? What if it's just because I didn't ask? What if it's really true that we can ask for anything in his name and he'll do it, according to John 14, 14. What if? What if it's really true? if two of us get together and we agree upon anything on earth, it shall be done for us. Would we pray more? Would we ask more if it was true? Would we find someone to pray with us? Will we find someone to agree with us? Because what if it's really true? If they agree with us, it shall be done for us. Are you ready for this one? What if it's really true? As it says in Matthew 12:36, that you and I shall be judged by every idle word we speak. What if we really will be judged for every careless word that comes out of our mouth? What if our speech is really supposed to be seasoned with grace all the time? What if it's really true in Philippians where Paul says, do all things without grumbling or complaining? What if it really means all? What if? What if there's no exceptional circumstance when life really stinks? Or like when you're in boot camp and Ethan. What if? What if there really is the power of life and death in our tongues? What if that's really true? Would we speak life into all of life's circumstances with our words? What if God really meant we should be slow to speak, quick to hear? What if maybe that's why he gave us two ears and one mouth? Because we're supposed to hear more and say less. What if it's really true that where there are many words, sin is unavoidable? What if? Would we talk less? Turn left. Should have said turn right. It's all right. Would we choose our words a little more carefully? Would we speak life into situations that we find ourselves in? What if we really are commanded to go into all the nations? What if Matthew 28, what if he really meant go therefore into all the nations? I'm going to date myself, but there was this guy named Keith Green. And he was at a concert one time and Keith was playing and he had this thing. Nobody did it back then. But he had this thing where he'd just get on the keyboards and he'd just start talking to you. And you're like in this party, concert, atmosphere, it's an outside festival, and he's just kind of playing and he's talking. He says, you know, can I tell you something you never need to pray about? And you're like, yeah. You never have to pray if you're supposed to go into all the nations. You never have to pray about going because he already commanded you to go. You should just pray, Lord, if you don't want me to go, speak to me. Otherwise, I'm going. What if it's really true that Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1 that there would be an empowerment, an endowment, a dunamis of the Holy Spirit that would be available for us in order for us to be witnesses? What if it's really true that the power of the Holy Spirit is to enable us to witness? What if it's still true that the wise win souls, as it says in Proverbs 11:30? Would we witness more often? Would we go if it's really true? Would we give so others can go? Would we? This morning, two more people signed up to grow the Philippines this summer with me. Come on. That's exciting. And some of you, I'm going to preach until your application is completed. So get right on that. Now I have young people going. We haven't turned in their applications yet. Or they turned them in, and they got thrown away, and I need another one, but they know who they are. What if, guys, it really is true, as it says in Ephesians 5, that we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? What if it really means that? What if 1 Peter 3:7 is really true? What if, when it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers? What if it's really true? If we're treating our wives inappropriately, that our prayer life really is hindered. What if we're praying for breakthrough in certain areas of our lives and it's not coming, and the problem is our prayer life? The problem is we don't live with our wives in a considerate way, treating them as a weaker vessel, as heirs of the promise and the gift of life that we are partakers of. What if, young people, you love me? What if it really is true, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, that we are supposed to obey our parents, even if we don't agree? What if it's really true that we're supposed to go beyond obedience? And according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, and honor them on top of obedience, honor them. Because it's the first commandment, the promise that you're going to, it'll be the first, that it'll be well with you and you'll live a long life. What if it's really true that in your teen years, if you obey and honor your parents, you're going to live a long time? What if? What if, parents, we really aren't supposed to provoke our children to anger? What if we're really not supposed to push their buttons? That was a modern translation, but you know what I mean. What if he really meant that? Would our marriages be better? Would there be more peace in our homes? Would our young people live longer? What if it's really true that where our treasure is, there also is our heart, according to Matthew 6. What if that's really true? What if it's really true if we bring our whole tithe and offering in? What if it's really true that the Lord will rebuke the devourer in our lives and he'll open up the windows of heaven and he'll pour out a blessing that we can't even contain it? What if it's really true? What if it's true? Because it's really God-breathed and inspired. What if we really are supposed to give hilariously, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, it ought to be the funnest moment of our lives. That we ought to start giggling and laughing and be so full of joy every time the offering bag goes by and we start filling it up. What if it's really true? It's not supposed to be a burden. Would we give more? Would we in faith expect a blessing in return? Will we do it with great joy? What if it really means that I'm supposed to forgive somebody 70 times 7 for the same thing they do to me in one day? What if they offend me 70 times in one day in the same way? What if it's really true that I'm supposed to forgive them? What if it's really true that if I forgive others, he'll forgive us? What if it really is true, according to Colossians 3, that I'm supposed to be compassionate and tender-hearted towards one another, forgiving one another just as the same way that Christ has forgiven me? What if it's really true that God wants me to forgive others just as much and in the same way that he has forgiven me? Would I forgive more? And would I hold fewer grudges? What if it's true that we really can cast all our burdens upon him? Because what if it's really true that he really does care about us? As Peter stated in chapter 5, verse 7. What if Matthew 6 is really true? What if, as the Lord was teaching, that the birds of the air, they don't sow and they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, but the Father feeds them? What if it's really true that the flowers don't toil and spin, but their beauty is more beautiful than anything Solomon ever had? What if it's really true that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all this stuff I'm worrying about, food, clothing, housing, Dave Ramsey calls that what? The four walls. What if it's really true when he says, the unchurched, the lost, the pagan, they worry about that stuff, but you don't have to because your Father knows what you need and he'll take care of you? What if that is really, really true? Would we be less stressed? Would we have greater intimacy with God because we'd just be pressing into his love and his kindness? And Thanksgiving wouldn't be something that happens once a year. We'd just live with an attitude of gratitude because of his goodness, because he is a good, good Father. And it goes beyond just a song. I have a bird feeder in my yard because of this verse. I fill it with seed. I sit on my front porch and I watch all these different birds eat out of that feeder. And every time that finch or that sparrow or that cardinal or that robin comes and starts eating that seed, it reminds me, my Father will feed me. Because it's not what if, it is, yes, it is. What if, when we're really weary and we're really burning out and we're really exhausted, what if it's really true that we can come to him and he'll give us rest so deep that it gives rest to our souls? What if it's really true that even young people grow weary and they get tired, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not grow weary. What if? What if it's really true? I've been thinking about this week. What if it's really true, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he's patient, desiring that none should perish? What if that none is Al-Qaeda or ISIS or a Hindu or a Buddhist or anything else that we think is outside of God's grace? What if that none should perish? What if he really means all? Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every language, every people group. What if would we look at them differently? Is there any group that he would just write off? What if he really meant that if you wanted to be great in the kingdom of God, you should become the servant of all? What if he really meant, hey guys, you want to be great? Get a towel. Wash some feet. What if really up is down and down is up? What if he really puts down the proud and he really exalts the humble? What if it's really true? What if when we serve and do give and we do things, we should do it in secret so we get praise from no man because our Father in heaven who sees will reward us? What if it's really true? When Jesus served, he looked at us and he says, I want you to do likewise. What if he really meant that? Would we serve more? Would we volunteer more? Would we assume that job is beneath me, or we would just roll up our sleeves and do it? Because what if the way up really is down? What if, I love this, what if he really meant that it was his will that we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks? Not for, but in. Have you been in a circumstance where rejoicing did not seem appropriate? Have you been in a situation that you really didn't want to pray about it, you just wanted to do something about it? Have you ever been in a situation that you weren't thankful when you were in it? What if he really meant that? What if that's actually God-breathed and inspired? I mean, seriously. What if Paul just wasn't like trying to mess with this and wrote some stuff down and God says, okay, I'll let that one pass. What if that really was God's idea? Seriously. I had a guy at work tell me, I don't like Paul, so I don't read anything he wrote. I said, that's like half the Bible. I said, you realize God wrote it? No, Paul wrote it. I don't like Paul. But what if it really is God breathed? What if it's really true, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we can ask, pray, or even imagine, what if it's true? Would we ask more? Would we pray more? Would we dream bigger? What if it's really true that we'll do greater works than Jesus himself? What if Jesus really meant that? Is there something we'd attempt that is so beyond us that every human being would know that wasn't them? There must be a God. What if it's true that we've all sinned? What if it's really true that our sins separate us from God? What if it's really true that no matter how good you are or how hard you try, you can never tip the scales in your favor? What if it's really true? It's not by works. Seriously, what if it's really true? Because some of us sitting here, we think some people aren't going to heaven because we're judging their works. And Jesus never judges our works as a requirement to get into heaven. What if it's really true that while we were still sinners and while we still hated God, that Christ died for us? What if that's really true? If that's true, then why is it after we get saved, we don't think God likes us if we mess up? When he loved us, we weren't even trying. And now that we're trying and messing up, he doesn't love me anymore. Can't talk to him, can't pray, can't be in his presence because he doesn't like me anymore. He died for you when you're an enemy of the cross. What if it's really true that while we were still sinning, Christ died for us? What if it's really true that salvation is just a free gift? What if it is just a gift? What if it is you can't earn it? You don't have to beg for it. What if it just gives it to you and all you got to do is take it? See, if you're sitting here this morning and you've not accepted Christ, then you're like me. You sin. You're like I was. My sin separated me from God. You are separated from God. Like me, no matter how good I try to act or how much you give to a church or how much you serve or what you do for God, it'll never be enough to get you into heaven. All you have to do is say, I want the gift of eternal life. I want Christ and all that he does and all that he means. What if it's true that once we accept Christ, according to John 1, we become sons and daughters, and he becomes dad? Abba, what if? What if it's really true that Christ is preparing a place for me and you, who are his bride? What if the bridegroom really is preparing a place for you? In closing, I want to share a couple thoughts. We're about ready to wrap up this year. I don't know, man. The older I get, the faster they go. Some young people are like, man, I wish it would get older quicker. Some of us are getting closer to Caleb. Lord, I still want my mountain. For almost everyone here this morning, you knew every one of these what ifs, and you probably got some of your own. And up here you're saying, it's so true. But you know, what's up here doesn't really even get you saved. It's what's right here. See, there's a difference between knowing and knowing. See, I can believe that this stool right here is a stool, and I can believe the purpose of this stool is to sit upon. And I can believe, I can look at it and say, I actually believe it's constructed enough to hold me, and I believe that the purpose of it is to hold me, and I believe that. But when I go like this, I know. I know. Some people say, well, I know it's a stool, and I know it can hold you, and I know it's sturdy. No, you don't know. You think you know. You don't know until you sit in it. See, we can all know these truths in the Word of God. But you don't really know until you lay hands on a sick person and they actually get healed. Now I know. Now I know. You don't really know that you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, until you go to witness to somebody and just God comes through and they get saved. Like, my goodness, I know now. I know that I know that I know. You don't really know that God really wants you to love your wife like Christ loves the church until you actually start doing it and you watch your relationship change. Young people, you really don't know that you're supposed to obey your parents' honor until you start doing it. And all of a sudden you realize your parents get smarter. It happens. My parents got really smart when I graduated from college. I went to college and they got smarter. They were always smart. Just wasn't smart enough to realize it. Can I encourage us this year? Even if you didn't read one more new verse What if you went home and you wrote down between now and January 1st everything that you know to be true? And then say, what if? Not what if it's true, but what if I actually started doing, believing, applying what I know to be true? And a year from now, you stand up. You know, Pastor, I had a what if. Now I've got a I know. What if Revelation 3:20 is really true? What if when he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anybody opens that door, I will come in and I will have dinner with them. I will fellowship with them. In a moment, we're going to pray a simple prayer for everybody in this building. And if you want to know something more than just intellectual facts, but you really want to know Jesus as Savior, then just accept the gift. And we're going to pray a prayer, and if you accept the gift, everybody's going to have their eyes closed, their head bowed. If you accept the gift, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up. Not enough room. I'm going to encourage you to tell somebody that it's not a what if anymore. It's I know. He's my Father now. I gave my life to him. But do you realize, church, that Revelation 3:20 wasn't written to people who didn't know God? Revelation 3 is written to the church. Saints, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He wants you to open it back up. He doesn't want to visit. He wants to fellowship. He wants to sit with you and be with you. I would encourage us to swing wide the door and say, come on in, Lord. Mabuhay. You're welcome. Let's pray. If you bow your head and close your eyes, please. And I'm going to ask everyone just to pray this with me. Everybody, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe sin separates me from you. I believe I can't earn it. I'm not good enough. I can never do enough. I believe salvation is a gift freely given. Today, I receive that gift. I believe in receiving that gift. I am now your child, and you're my Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer tonight for the first time, or you just know you've really walked away from God and you're saying, you know what, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm coming home. Raise your hand and say, Pastor, this morning, it's not what if, it's I know. This morning I prayed. Yep, those hands are going up. Yep, I see them. All over, I see them. His hands are going up. Yep. Just lift him up high. Don't be ashamed of him. He's looking. He said, that's my son. That's my daughter. Ain't what if anymore. It's amen. Now put your arms, I'm going to pray for you. Father, pray for each person. There was many, many across the room that lifted their hands. That you would seal that decision right now. That there may be many things in the Word of God they don't know. But one thing they know now is Jesus lives in my heart. I am the Father's child, and he is my dad. I want to encourage those of you who raise your hand to tell somebody that you came with or somebody you know here, or if you don't know anyone, just a stranger, say, you know what? today God became my Father. And I want to pray for the rest of the church. Father, I pray that we would not say, what if Jesus is really knocking at the door of my heart? What if he really wants to come in and spend time with me and be with me and eat with me? What if? That would be no what if. That we, Lord Jesus, as your sons and daughters, Father, that we would open our door and let you come in every day, fresh and new, so that all these things we know wouldn't be what ifs anymore. They'd be amens. I know, I know, I know, I know. Because we practice them. Father, I thank you for the many who gave their hearts to the Lord tonight or this morning, and you're rejoicing in heaven, and all of heaven's got a party. And Lord, I thank you for every body you healed today. Because, Lord, it's not what if. It's yes. It's true. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Oh, wait. I got one more announcement. Please don't move. I'm so sorry. No, it's seriously. All right. One of the dear sisters of our house, Regina, she went to be with the Lord on Friday. All right? This morning. She went to be with the Lord this morning. And I'm going to ask you, just pray for the family. I've already reached out to Ryan and Aspen, but seriously, and Alan, and just do what you do. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Come together as a body. You're an amazing church. An amazing church. This is an opportunity for us to serve and rejoice that she's in heaven. You know, it's like three people from our body this week just went to be with them. I'm a little jealous. But that bridegroom, they're with him now. All right? But let's just pray right now. Father, I just pray for her entire family. God, I pray for those that are really close to her. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you bring comfort. Lord, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Bible says that you get peace beyond understanding. The Bible says you can get joy unspeakable, full of glory. Father, I pray and believe the Holy Spirit will be present in the family today. Father, I extend that same blessing over the Smith family, that you would be who you promised to be, a comforter and a God of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. God bless you.